This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, it's hard to follow you sometimes. We thank you for the strength, for the courage readily available to us as we turn to you and kindle within us the fire of your hope and love. In your holy name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. If I've always been aware of it or if it's just more acutely now, but it seems like there's these ups and downs and ups and downs of life everywhere I turn, especially lately. High mountain peak experiences and deep valley experiences. I'm sure some of you have experienced the same thing. We might not be aware of it because we can get so caught up in it that we don't realize how we're pulled up and down and around. I have to start off with several examples of what that's like and what I've witnessed or been told to me just within the last few weeks. Listen to this up and down. And I have to start, of course, with a turtle story, still involved with the turtles. And at the beginning of the month, right after I started vacation, I was walking down the beach and I came upon, about 6:45 in the morning, a huge green turtle just leaving. She had just finished laying her eggs. It took her about an hour to get from the nest, which was like here, to the second pew. She was so exhausted. It was exhilarating to watch her as she finally made her way into the ocean. And then, a couple days later, just down the beach again, more hatchlings. They're coming out now and will be until October. Beautiful, beautiful experience to witness. Then, At the same exact time, we hear of a beloved parishioner who has entered hospice at a young age, 51 years old. And the agony that that family and those of us who love him dearly are going through. Such a mountain peak and then down. Then that same week that I heard about hospice with this man, a young woman who went on the mission trip with us by the name of Tiffany Chung, who's not a member of our church, but she went with Jessica Highland, who many of you know from our service here. She came with us on the mission trip. She was so taken with the children there and the mission that we did there, she began to sell candy on her own at her high school. And this week, we posed for the presentation of a check for $1,605. All on her own, she did this. So we've sent it out for a press release. I hope you'll see it in the papers coming up. Just because she wanted to do something, and now that money will go toward our future mission fund for our trips to the Dominican Republic. Parents watched one son graduate with honors from college and another son take an offer from the state to go into prison for 3 years. Talk about up and down, life and death. I was sitting at my desk on Thursday. I'm sitting there. We get a phone call. Bethesda Hospital's on the phone. A woman there without a church wanted a priest to come and pray with her because her baby had been stillborn. Within 10 minutes, I was just walking out the door, the phone rang, and it was one of our young parishioners who had had a baby a few months ago that wanted to talk about the joy of that birth and baptism. I mean, it's like you get whiplash, up and down and up and down. Yesterday, we got a call that another one of our parishioners was giving thanks because she could sit at the bedside of her father when he passed peacefully from this earth in his old age. She looked at it as both a mountaintop experience and a valley experience. Then I was walking yesterday, same thing, same day, walking. I mean, on Friday, I was walking, and a young parent whose child was just entering kindergarten began to talk to me. He had just walked him in and came out, and he began to talk to me about what a thrill it was to see his child going off to kindergarten. He had his tear in his eye. This was a big hulk of a guy. I loved it. I loved it. Such is life. We all have our stories, heart-wrenching, joyful, exhilarating, saddening, ups and downs. Such is life. And that was how Peter's life was, as depicted in today's gospel. Last week, we hear about him. He'd been following Jesus, right, as one of the main disciples. He had just been asked by Jesus, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter had said, "Oh, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus names him the rock, says, "On you I will build my church. I'm giving you the keys to the kingdom. Your name is Peter now." So today, Jesus is telling, in this story, Jesus is telling his disciples that he's going to have to be arrested. He's going to die on the cross, and he's going to rise from the dead. And Peter, filled with this new authority, brazenly says to him, "No, not you. This isn't going to happen to you. Don't tell me that." And Jesus rebukes him and calls him Satan. And what's interesting, in my research, I found out that in the Middle East, this word Satan, Sata, in Aramaic and Arabic, is one who misleads, one who takes us away from what is intended by God, one who misleads. "Get thee behind me, Satan." Fathers say it to their children sometimes. We hear it today, and we have all these other connotations, but in that moment, he says, "Get thee behind me." What I called the rock is now a stumbling block to me. And it was still a mystery to Peter. Still a mystery to us. Why is there suffering? Why, Lord, why? And Jesus is saying, wrong question. The question is, what now? What now I want you to do? You pick up your cross, whatever it is you're carrying, and you follow me. You follow me. And like was mentioned last week, you ask for Christ-mindedness in the meantime. And it's difficult. It's hard to do that. How do we navigate it? I think of that psalm that says, "Be still and know that I am God." God in Christ is asking us to do the same as Peter and the disciples. And yep, it's difficult. And yep, there is suffering, especially in the way of following Christ. We have to stand up for justice and truth when others might not. We've got to choose to be honest when it might be really easy not to be. It's a tough situation, so how do we get there? To that place of walking with one another, continuing to be hopeful in the midst of seeming despair, not just tolerance, but deeper relationships with people who are different than us, not just ignoring hurt, but transcending it, not just saying, "I'm sorry," for a situation, but really delving into it and exploring it and taking the time to talk it through, not giving into fear, but seeing love and holding fast to that truth. And in preparing this, I was reminded of a little piece of a poem that my mom used to say to us. You might have heard it. "God hath not promised skies always blue, flowers strewn pathways all our lives through. God hath not promised sun without rain, joy without sorrow, peace without pain. But God hath promised strength for the day, rest for the labor, light for the way. Grace for the trials, help from above, unfailing sympathy, undying love." I have two suggestions for how we might continue in this walk, besides the fundamental, which is the obvious, which is prayer and gathering together like this, and taking the time for healthy relationships. And I'll say that again, taking the time for healthy relationships. Besides that, there's two suggestions I'd like to make. One comes from a therapist friend of mine, and we were talking the other day, and she said, "You know, Wendy, all of life is living in between. We have this relationship and this situation and our work and our home and our church and this other endeavor we might be doing. And somewhere we live in between it all. And I thought that was pretty brilliant what she said. And then I would tack on, and guess what? Right there with us in that in between is God. And when we realize God as the ground of our being, it becomes a little easier to navigate these mountains and valleys. Not just a little easier, way easier. At least that's been my experience. Secondly is play. Play. I was trained in this on my vacation by my 4-year-old grandson. I was kind of feeling sorry for myself at the beginning of my vacation, and he spent 3 days with me, and I made a list of what we did. We played. We swam. We made sandcastles. We went to the beach. We rescued a hurt bird and took her up to Bush's Wildlife Sanctuary. We saw baby sea turtles and jumped in mud puddles that he called muddy puddles. Roasted s'mores at a party on the beach, ate all kinds of fun stuff, stayed up late, and I was exhausted. There's a reason people have babies when they're younger. There's a reason for that. It was thrilling, but I was exhausted. And just before he was ready to leave, it was just getting near dinner time, I get a phone call. His mom said that they had missed their connection in Charlotte, and he was going to be with me for 4 more hours. They wouldn't be in yet. Well, I loved to be with him, but I really was tired. I cleaned him all up, had his shower, packed everything up, ready to go. It had been raining all day long. We had been cooped up in the house that day, and we had done a lot of fun stuff. So I said, well, okay. I gave him some dinner, and the sun was just starting to come out. It was almost dusk, and he said, can we go outside, Grandma? Can we go outside? And I thought, well, yeah, I'd like to get outside, but I just cleaned you up, and we'll just be able to take a walk. He said, Grandma Wendy, can't we get dirty? Come on, can't we get dirty? Look at those puddles. Look at those puddles, those muddy puddles. So I almost said no. I almost said no. I don't know what I was thinking. And then I said yes. I said yes. And we went down, and I'll tell you, there were more puddles. We were covered with mud. Covered with mud. Then we went over to the beach, walked along the beach. I wasn't feeling sorry for myself anymore. And up ahead, there were these people playing bocce ball. And he got so excited, and he ran way ahead of me. And I was about to scream, don't bother them, don't bother them. And he's going, can I play, can I play? And they were so taken with his joy, they said, sure. And then I walk up and they say, you want to play? And so we played bocce ball with these strangers. And it was because his joy, a little child, shall lead them. And Jesus asks us to find those moments, to focus on what is just and true and good in our lives, even though we have deep valleys. We pick up our cross with whatever it is we're carrying and we follow the joy of Christ in that. He says we have to lose our lives to gain them. Lose our lives to gain them. In closing, I'd like to read you the words to a song by Colin Gibson. Nothing is lost on the breath of God. Nothing is lost forever. God's breath is love, and that love will remain, holding the world forever. No feather too light, no hair too fine, no flower too brief in its glory, no drop in the ocean, no dust in the air, but is counted and told in God's story. Nothing is lost to the eyes of God. Nothing is lost forever. God sees with love, and that love will remain, holding the world forever. No journey too far, no distance too great, no valley of darkness too binding. No creature too humble, no child too small for God to be seeking and finding. Nothing is lost to the heart of God. Nothing is lost forever. God's heart is love, and that love will remain, holding the world forever. No impulse of love, no office of care, no moment of life in its fullness. No beginning too late, no ending too soon, but is gathered and known in his goodness. Amen.